Our scripture this morning is found in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's hear the word of our God. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodotus and beseech Syntyche and they that they be the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so ends our reading this morning of God's holy, inspired, infallible word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our pastors, their wives and families, the consistory, the elders and deacons, their wives and families, wish you a truly blessed and spiritually prosperous new year of 2018. As we look around us, we already have heard of tragedy that strikes in our world. We are reminded that even last evening, the evidences of our Lord's return are at hand. We ought to therefore live as the New Testament church did, with this anticipation and expectation every step we take in 2018. And in light of that expectation and anticipation of our Lord's return as a bridegroom for his bride, we have a calling as a congregation to live in this world. And that calling is to be the light and the salt of the earth. And it's our prayer, and I trust your prayer for us as the consistory as well, that we as a congregation might live in that very way. Not conform to this world, but in this new year as well, by the grace of God, being transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ more and more, as we soberly await the hope that is set before us. There are still those here, and maybe not here this morning as well, but even here today, of our congregation who do not have this expectant hope. They are outside of Christ and without hope in this world. And therefore, let us renew our prayers to that end, that especially in this year of 2018, those of our children perhaps, those who are older, those who are even facing imminent death, who do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the proclamation of his word, the witness of the body of the believers of Jesus Christ, may come to the knowledge and salvation that is to be found in him. And for those who are traveling to this destiny of being with their Lord forever, whether you have known the Lord for 10 years or 70 years, it's this same work of God by his Holy Spirit that found you where you were and has brought you to this present day that you still need in this year of 2018. You need this same grace that is abundant in its supply to do for you what we cannot do for ourselves. And we're called to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what he's promised to do for us. And we are grateful also for the many who give of their time and talents in the congregation for the ministry in this flock as well. We're grateful to each one of you, and we think especially of the brothers in the ministry. Brother DeVries will be giving a thank you as well, but I want to do that personally, and to those who are serving in the consistory, the Lord, that he would bless us as we enter into this new year as well. And to those who are involved in various activities in the congregation, we commend you and your work of service to the Lord, to him and his grace. Bible studies that are taking place, prayer meetings, those who are involved with the choir and catechism instruction, HHOM, Sunday school, the organists and those who are coordinating meals, those who are laboring at the Christian school, youth group leaders, church secretary, bulletin, janitors, parking lot duty, sound system, those who are translating for the Chinese ministry, and those who have given in various ways to the financial obligations that we have as a congregation as well, and those who I've no doubt forgotten, and all who give of their time and talents, we thank you for them, and we commend you to the God of all grace. And as we look toward this year of 2018, we have many needs. Perhaps if we each sat down on with Day of Thanksgiving, we can compose a list of things we're thankful for. On the day of the new year, we could compose a list of things we are needing. But the real question is, do we really understand our needs? Or are often our needs really those things that we're just wanting and it would be nice to have? And one of the great needs I think that we have as a congregation also is the need for one to go before us in the capacity of a full-time pastor. It's a great need. It's a need that the Lord has promised also to give to his church, the proclamation of his word and the pastoring of souls within the flock. Our text this morning leads us into these needs that we have and God's promise for a abundant, a sufficient, an inexhaustible supply to our need. And that text you will find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. There Paul says to the Philippian church, a church that was really on his heart. It was a church well beloved by the Apostle Paul, as they had ministered to him, as we read that in this chapter as well, in many different ways. And so they had ministered to him again. And at the end of this book, he is laying this inexhaustible promise, this inexhaustible supply at their feet. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I want to look at this inexhaustible supply that we have for the year 2018 as well, in light of this passage. I want to look at four thoughts. First of all, I want to look at the setting in which this verse and this book is taking place. Without this context, we really have no reference or peg on which to hang this promise that Paul gives to us and the Philippian church. So the setting. Second of all, the source. Where does this inexhaustible supply originate from? And third, the supply itself. What is promised in this supply? And lastly, we will see the sufficiency of this supply. Our inexhaustible supply for 2018. The setting, the source, the supply, and the sufficiency. Well, Paul the Apostle, dear congregation, had received a gift from this church at Philippi as he was sitting in Rome, sitting, no doubt, between soldiers who were guarding him there as Paul was in prison in the palace there. And he gives them a greeting at the beginning of this chapter and calls them to thanksgiving and to a life of service and reflection of the great gift of the humbling of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wants to convey to the Philippian church, who he loves so much, that while he is in bonds, though he is in this seemingly predicament and difficult circumstances, his heart is filled with joy. He is overflowing, and with the reception of this gift that they had received, they had given to him, his heart was even more overwhelmed with joy. But I have all, he said in verse 18, and abound. I am full. And the reason is because Paul had ministered to this church at Philippi. He had saw the work of God in his glorious salvation accomplished in their lives. He had saw those who were dead in trespasses come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had seen this church grow in the grace and knowledge of the Savior. And here was simply another token and evidence of that work of God in their heart. An evidence that indeed they had received the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, into their hearts, that had transformed them so that they, of all the churches, a very poor church, had nevertheless, of their lack, still given to him this gift in his need. And so in the context of this passage, a passage that's often quoted to various people who have needs, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, is in a context. And that context is a promise given to them in response to what they had given to the Apostle Paul. Paul's not telling them here, oh, by the way, thanks for the gift, I need a little more. That's nothing what Paul is saying. He says, I'm content, I'm fully satisfied. My joy is the seeing of the work of God's grace evident in the gift that you have given, more than the gift itself. The action on their part, Paul, in a sense, was saying, has been recorded in heaven. And as we enter this new year, as we think about 2017 behind us, what acts of Grand Rapids are recorded in heaven that will give rise to the pouring out of this inexhaustible supply? But what about grace? Yes, there is grace. That's the origins. We will see the source of this. But in this context in which Paul is giving this promise, it is in the context of self-denying people who have learned to deny themselves and give for the cause of the kingdom, not just financially, but in so many other ways. And as we begin this year, what is the heart that we have within us? What's the desire of our heart? Is it to give till it hurts? And in the sense that God, as we reflect on what He's given to us in His own Son, He gave His own Son to be delivered up to the cross, to be nailed to the tree, to give us life. Now, what have we given in response? Of the blessings that really He's given to us to begin with. There's nothing you could give, that we could give in this new year, that really haven't originated from Him in the first place. Why are we then hoarding them sometimes to ourselves? Paul is here saying to the Philippians, I know that you have wants and needs as well, but out of your lack and out of your needs, you even have given to me, and it's an evident token. You have learned what God has done for you. Are we like those in Philippi? Who even give of our lack in order that God and His kingdom may be established and people around us blessed? No, there is blessing in God's word attached to our faithfulness and obedience to Him. This isn't a blank check as we begin 2018. My God will supply everything for you no matter what. It's not what He's saying. It's not the context. This book probably may not have even been written unless this gift, that's the origin of this stirring of the heart of the Apostle Paul as he writes a thank you note to the church at Philippi. And if you look through this wonderful book, this book that just expounds and overflows with the glory of Christ and who He is for His people, it originated with a little gift that this church given to the apostle. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this letter to send to this church at Philippi. We know that. But its origin is here from their gift they had given to him. And we read in Malachi, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there will not be enough room to receive it. Bring in the tithes, and I will pour out the blessing. There's a condition. A condition of blessing and promise, we could say. The children of Israel didn't believe God's word. God had said, let the land remain barren in the sense of, you can labor all you want for all the years you want, but if I don't bless it, you have nothing. If you don't let your land rest on the seventh year and on the 70th year, I will not bless you. And so many times we have distorted understandings of the promises of God, and we're trying to keep the little things that we have in life, all the talents and the blessings, not just money that we're talking about this morning, but all the blessings we receive of the Lord. When we try to hoard them and keep them to ourselves, they will become stale and stagnant. Rather, what we ought to be doing as a congregation in our own personal lives is, as Paul said to the Corinthians, the comfort that you have received of God, He gives not just for your comfort, but that you may with this comfort be able to comfort those who are in need. And so as we think about this new year that expands before us, let's do so in light of the blessings that come to us, that we may ask the question, now how can I be used of the Lord to be a blessing to so many others around me who haven't experienced those blessings as well? That's what the Philippians did here. That's what gave rise to this glorious promise of an inexhaustible supply. And when you give to God and His kingdom, whether it's a word in kindness spoken to someone in need, or it's taking the lower place at a meeting when your thoughts and desires aren't really coming to the foreground. When we give to God, it's not lost. It seems like to our human understanding, we don't have it anymore. But God is saying, when we die to ourselves, and we give for the cause of Christ, and we serve Him and His people, the abundance of blessing that awaits us is inexhaustible. So what's the source? Where does the origin of this inexhaustible supply that Paul says to the Philippians and to us come from? But my God. My God. Notice the confidence with which the apostle speaks. Could we do that? Maybe tomorrow, this morning, sitting here in comfort of the heat of this building, and it's cold outside, and we don't have chains, we're not in a cell, we're not being afflicted. It's easy to say. But Paul is here saying this with full confidence and knowledge and understanding that it is God's will that he's right here where he is, in chains, next to soldiers, not knowing what his next day brings. My God. Could you imagine someone who's in prison writing you a letter and saying, my God's going to supply all your need? Oh, well, he's not supplying yours. But Paul understands he is. This is what I need right now. This is where God wants me, right here, right now. So I can be of greater blessing to even his people. And maybe God is going to bring some affliction and trial in your life and suffering this year that's unexpected, that you think, where did that come from? And how am I going to get through this trial? But my God, if we can hang on to this confession as the apostle did, what do we have to tremble and to fear? This is the only true God. This is the one who had bought him, who had found Paul in his own righteousness and set him at liberty and gave him the riches of the kingdom, even his own beloved son. And if God had given his own son and allowed him to be taken in the hands of wicked men and to be nailed to the tree, if God freely gave the apostle Paul to receive of this one, his son, how would he not freely give him everything? How will he freely not give you and me everything we need for 2018? If you know this same confession of the apostle Paul, this same God, and you can say, my God, my Lord, and my God. If he has found you in your sin, he has found you wallowing in your blood, and he's called you out of darkness to light, he's given you a new heart and new desires and a mind that would be set upon Christ, why will he not then, therefore, who has given you the greatest of all, his own son to suffer and die in your stead? Why do you suspect him in not giving you everything you need? You know, we can carry into this new year many, many burdens and many cares and many questions about what's going to happen, how are we going to make ends meet, and Paul is saying to the Philippians, he's saying to us, my God, out of this source will flow every blessing. The God who loved the apostle, the God who loves his people, the God who loves us, the God who saved those who have come to saving faith in him, who justified us if we are in Jesus Christ. This God is the one who out of him is all the supply that's inexhaustible for your need. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said in response to the words of this passage, he says, I don't know how you feel, but I can never read words like these without feeling, and I say it deliberately, that the main trouble with us as Christian people is that we are such fools. How we rob ourselves of the riches of grace. how with our worldly wisdom we put our little limits upon what God offers us, and how we rob ourselves of so much joy and salvation and the glory of Christian living. Are you going to allow your own unbelief and your own understanding and misunderstanding of God's word and promises to limit your blessing in this new year? He goes on to say, take a man like Paul. Was there ever a happier man than this? Here he's in prison. Take another saint who has adorned the Christian church. These people at first sight seem to be so reckless. And yet how wonderful their lives have been. How reckless in the positive sense of the word, if you might say it that way, have we been and ventured upon the faithfulness of our God as individuals and as the church? Are we content just being who and what we are? My God shall supply all your need. Paul saying to the Philippians, God hasn't seen this gift. It's not been unnoticed by God. He knows your needs. He knows exactly out of what need you have that you gave to me. And now he knows what he's going to provide for you and in all your need as well. When you don't even know how you're going to make ends meet and you've given out of your lack to supply my need, God, my God, is going to supply all your needs. And this is the cry of the people of the Lord through the ages. I will lift up to my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord shall preserve thee. The Lord is my God. I read once that Robert Murray McShane, he said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. And then he said, and yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me, and he is the God of heaven. And this is Robert Murray McShane's confession. This is Paul's confession. This must be our confession as we enter in this threshold of 2018. My God. My God. Can you say that with conviction, from your heart, with love, with expectation? My God. That's the source. And the supply. The third thought, my God shall supply all your needs. Needs. Not wants, not desires, not what we think would make us feel good or be for necessarily our benefit, but our needs. Those two are not often equal to each other or understood in the same light. God really is the best judge of what we need. We're looking through life and we're looking through the circumstances that we face every day. We look at 2018 through colored glasses. We think if only this would happen and only that circumstance would change and only we could do this or do that, then it would be all okay. And Paul is saying, let this be clear. My God shall supply all your need. Whatever your need, whatever our need is going to be in 2018, let us not question for a moment that he will supply. This supply is inexhaustible because God the Father is the best judge of precisely what you and I need for 2018. Not me, not you. We're not the best judge. We would have it wrong. Paul says, but my God will have it right. He will supply you your need, whatever it might be. The text is really plain and simple. My God shall supply. Paul's not uncertain. He doesn't say he might supply. He may supply. he shall supply all your need. Not just part of it, but all of it. Now, I've labored in the first point this morning to set before you the context in which Paul gives this promise. And yet here is just such a connection with not somehow, well, if we obey enough, then we're going to get lots of things and needs that are met. That's not what Paul's inferring here at all. But there is an abundance here that ties into the idea of grace. There is such an abundant supply that even when we aren't as faithful as we ought to be, that even when we come short in what we are called to do, his supply overshadows it all. The danger is that we think we know better than God. The idea here is God will fill to the full. He will supply completely your need. That may mean in this year you may need a meal sometime and he supplies. It may mean in this year that maybe someone here who has a thriving business, it collapses. It may mean that some of you will go to the doctor and the doctor will say, I don't have good news. But he will supply your need. Because even through sickness, even through suffering, even through trial, when we cling to my God, we grow in dependence. We grow into likeness to Christ. That's his intention if we are his. Nothing else. God doesn't give to his people a bed of roses so that we can just sail through life and have, it would not lead us to depend on him. It would not lead us to trust him. It would not lead us to rest on his promises and by faith see his word is true even though all around me seems to be failing and falling away. Paul says, between two soldiers in prison, my God is going to supply all your need. And there's not only these outward needs that we're going to have. We pray for our daily bread. But there are greater than this, even the spiritual needs that we have individually and as a congregation as well. We will be faced with temptations in this new year. We need his grace. We need the Spirit of Christ. We need him to work in our hearts and our spirits to live according to his word. And that grace that he's needing to give us is supplied here according to his riches. Whatever your need. Do you need repentance? Are you living in sin and have not turned to the Lord and you don't even know what repentance is? You don't know what you need to do to be saved. And you hear of repentance and faith. Well, this need that you have, he supplies. My God shall supply all your needs. In your relationships with others. In relationship in your families, maybe that are in tension or maybe that are tried. What's your need that you be reconciled? The need for forgiveness, the need for reconciliation to demonstrate the love of Christ. What's your need biblically that needs to be fulfilled and answered? Here Paul says, my God shall supply it, whatever your need. We have need for a pastor to shepherd us. We have need for another elder and sharing the load of the consistory. We have need of a Chinese ministry and reaching out to our community. We have spiritual needs. We have needs at HHOM. We have needs in the mission field. We have many needs. And Paul is saying it's his God who will supply all our needs. It's sufficient. He
He will supply in your weakness with his strength. He will give you wisdom when you find yourself without words to speak to those who ask a question. He will give you love to those who are unlovable. My God shall supply all your needs. There isn't a moment in time in 2018 where this will not be true. My God shall supply your every need. Do you believe that? As we enter in this new year, do you think that this is true? Or is this just a sort of some outlandish promise or some just global kind of thing that Paul says will probably be true to some degree? That's not what Paul says. He says this with confidence. But my God shall supply all your need. Paul was sitting here in prison, remember? He was content, he says, with this circumstance in prison. I don't desire anything more from you. He says, I abound. I am reminded of your gift that has come through Epaphroditus, and I just am overwhelmed. And I give glory to God. Because he sees, and this is Paul's heart, he sees from this Philippian church, it came from their heart, from their heart of service, from the heart that had been transformed, and he's encouraged. And as we see acts of service within the congregation, and we serve one another, and as we become the hand and feet of Christ to one another, this should fill our hearts and minds in this new year as well. But my God, the gift of the meal that you receive should immediately incline our heart to say, but my God shall supply also your need in Christ Jesus. And if we receive in God's hand a pastor, may our hearts be lifted up in unison. My God shall supply our every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And when we receive the blessings of God, not necessarily directly from his hand, that may happen, but also from the hands of his people around us and in the church, our heart should overflow with gratitude, with that's food to eat. I'm reminded of Jesus. And no doubt you remember this story as well. When Jesus had been left alone with his disciples having gone into the town to get bread, and he's left alone by the well, and there comes this woman to the well, and he strikes up this conversation with her, and they have this dialogue, and he points her to the living water, and she actually drinks of that by faith, and she goes back to her town and begins to talk about all the things that this man had told her. And then the disciples come back to Jesus, and they said, here's some bread to eat. And he says, I don't need that. I have bread enough. What was that bread? He had saw in this woman's heart this transformation. He had saw a lost child of Adam who had come to believe and drink of the living water. And this filled his heart and his soul. That's what Paul's doing here. His heart is so filled with the response of the Philippian church. And I pray that as we enter into 2018, your pastors and your consistory may be so filled with the response of gratitude and the love in the hearts of the people of the congregation, outpouring to beyond the congregation, that our expression will be, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We would like it, I suspect, if we were almost given this check at the beginning of this year, no matter what need we have, we would like to be able to know, well, that is going to be met. This guarantee that everything is going to end well, that I'm not going to go to the doctor and get a report that maybe I have cancer or some other disease, or I'm not going to have an accident this year, or I'm going to live in my life to be 80 years old. We would like to have that kind of thing laid out for us, but that's not the promise of our text. The promise is, whatever your need, my God will supply. And God's promise is certain and sure. And the certain sureness of this promise will be, it will be well to the end. And when we are in times of near despair, times we are tempted perhaps to be depressed, times when we are perhaps faced with bitterness that wells up within us, when we're ready to faint, the Lord will provide His grace. Do we believe His promise? Or are we going to somehow forget this word and begin to blame others for the circumstances of our life, of our family, of our congregation, of a pastor? This supply is inexhaustible. And it is sufficient. Its sufficiency in our last thought is because it is rooted and grounded in what Paul ends this phrase with. My God shall supply all your need according. It's the sufficient thing because it's according to. It's in like measure to the glory, if you will, of His riches in Christ Jesus. Paul often uses this expression. It's according to. It's in like manner. It exceeds the glory you even see in the glory of Christ Jesus. There's no reserve here in this passage of this promise. It's as if Paul unloads it all before us. My God shall supply all your need. And how is He going to do this? Will there be just enough to get by? Not at all. My God will supply according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul's saying, God's not going to just give you enough, a little bit to get by, just so much. No, God's going to give you just enough and an exceeding amount that whatever your condition, whatever you're going to face with this year, if you're in Christ and you're leaning on God in this way, you're going to be able to say with Paul, chained in prison, and say, I'm content. I'm happy. I'm filled with joy. Why? Because my God is supplying all my need even now. So that in whatever state I am, I have everything. He said, I overflow. He's in the state of great need himself, and look what's pouring out of his heart. The whole letter to the Philippians. And if you find yourself in such a position this year that you just are bound up and you don't know what to think and you don't know how to go forward, write a note to someone about the glories of Jesus Christ and His humility, and you'll be lifted up like the Apostle Paul and overflow. My grace is sufficient for you. My God will supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. The cattle on 1,000 hills are His. You know, if Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, perhaps the richest man in the world, would visit us in one of our services and put a $10 bill in the plate, it'd be nothing. Even if you put a $1,000 check in the collection, it'd simply be giving out of his riches. He wouldn't be giving according to his riches. But if he put in the collection plate a blank check and he says, here, use this for whatever you need. That's according to his riches, because we couldn't exhaust his supply of financial ability. And that's what Paul's saying here in this text. And so often we are complaining about what our needs are, what we think we need, and we're not resting and looking to God to fulfill his word of promise according to our need, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, walking in the way of the Lord, even when it means we will be bound up for our confession in prison, even when it means we will be suffering persecution and face ridicule, whatever it means for us, it doesn't matter, Paul is saying, because his riches in glory in Christ Jesus far exceeds all that we will face in this life. Because we are living close to the Lord, if we are feeding upon his promises and upon a rich Christ, for a poor, needy sinner like ourselves, we know our every need will be supplied. If God did not hold back his own Son, how will he not freely give us everything in 2018? If God provided for you and for me, if we are in Jesus Christ by giving his Son, why do we imagine what we really have need for, he's going to withhold from us? And that need is that we be conformed and transformed into the likeness of his Son. That's why he saved us unto himself. And so whatever it will take in this year, by the fatherly hand of God, he is going to allow, he's going to direct, he's going to bring to pass in our lives so that we rely and we depend more and more upon this supply, this inexhaustible supply of riches in Christ Jesus. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us from this inexhaustible supply of riches. That's why Paul could say to the Philippians and to the Colossians, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's why Paul could say, who was sitting there in prison, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's how we lived. That's how we need to live in 2018. And so Paul could say, I abound, I overflow, because he has someone he could say, my God. Lloyd Jones again, he said, my God will meet all your needs. Seven monosyllables like bullets of God aimed at everyone's confidence in his own self-sufficiency. I will do it for you, O house of Israel. There is no doubt about this. It's not contingent. It's not uncertain. It doesn't say perhaps, maybe. No, my God will. As certainly as I'm writing to you, says Paul in effect, this will happen to you. I know. I am certain. These are his terms. Now, Paul does not say that he knows exactly how God is going to do it. And we don't know either. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Sometimes he takes away in order to give. We've all had that experience in one small way or another. He seems to empty before he fills, but he does it and he will do it. It is certain and it is absolute. God will meet, friends, all our needs with his rich supply. Inexhaustible sufficiency in Jesus Christ in 2018. And this doesn't mean that when we get to glory, eventually all that supply will become apparent and evident. It does mean that, but it means much more. It means already in the concrete period of time of 2018, this inexhaustible supply is penetrating, is entering into time and into the hearts of his church and his people. Every believer in this world and in this church is exceeding rich. All things are ours in Christ Jesus. We can with the utmost confidence therefore say together with one another, my God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Dear friends, as we enter 2018, let this be our meditation, our thought. If we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. If we sow abundantly, we reap abundantly. But my God, nevertheless, is going to supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus in 2018. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God and Father, we come this morning to thee and pray thy blessing upon this word which we have heard. Lord, it is not according to our faithfulness this promise comes, but according to thy riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Help us therefore to plead and to to lean hard upon this word of promise at the threshold of this new year. And may we find it to be true. May we not lose heart and lose hope and not be weary in well-doing also in this new year. To serve one another as thou hast served us. We can never, Lord, we confess, repay. And it's not the intention to repay what thou hast done, but help us in our hearts to live lives filled with gratitude to thee and service to thee and to one another as well. Bless us now and the rest of today and the rest of this week, and do hear our prayer for the sake of Jesus Christ. In the pardoning of all our sin, we ask. Amen.